Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Strong in the Saddle. I'm your host, Katrina. And for those of you who follow me on YouTube, which yes, I have a YouTube channel as well. You can find it at youtube.com/@strongin the saddle or just search Strong in the Saddle. It should pop up. On the video I released on the Friday before this episode goes live, I talked about sending Diesel away for training. We've been in a bit of a training riding plateau for quite a bit of time at this point. And on top of that, there's some other big things going on in my life that are making it really difficult for me to really focus on Diesel's training in order for me to make progress with him. And at this point, I'm really frustrated with the lack of progress and concerned that he's not going to live up to his potential, being it my fault that he doesn't live up to his potential, and just being stressed with having quite a few things going on in my life. And the one thing that brings me joy is also causing me a little bit of stress, that being horses. So that kind of combination of things has really got me considering whether I should be sending him away for training or not. This isn't the first time that this thought has come up. I'm a tax accountant, and so for the months of March and April, I don't have much time at all to ride my horse. And so I had considered prior to tax season of 2023, so this past March and April, I had considered sending him away then, because I was like, I'm not going to have time to ride him anyways. Someone else might as well ride him. And then, you know, he'll be better. He'll be legged up by the time May gets here and I have more time to ride and to dedicate to him. I didn't end up doing that. I did as best I could to spend time with him during tax season and just kind of worked around my schedule and that sort of a thing. But now that we're in, you know, full-blown summer and I've been trying really, really hard to make progress with him and I feel like I'm hitting a brick wall, the thought of sending him away has come up again. And so I just wanted to talk about that a little bit today and kind of go over some things that you might want to consider if you're kind of in the same boat and are debating whether or not you should send a horse away for training. And this can apply to a variety of horses. It can apply to a horse that hasn't been started at all, that's a young horse, and just, you know, you've thought about training it yourself, but you're considering sending it away. It can be a horse like Diesel that is started, has a really good start, but isn't finished. Or it could be maybe a finished horse that's having issues and you're just, again, hitting your head against a brick wall and just can't seem to get past it. Like, there's all kinds of scenarios where you might want to consider sending your horse to a trainer. I guess another scenario would be like your horse is fine, but your time is committed elsewhere and you don't have the time to devote to the horse to maintain where they're at. That's another scenario I think that would come up. So I think the first place to start would be just evaluating your goals and what your time availability is for this specific situation. So for me, you know, my goals, I'm not 100% clear on my goals with Diesel. I really enjoyed just doing the small Ag Society shows that we did last year. I did have goals at one point to do some of like the bigger reining shows here in Alberta, like the Reining Alberta spring, summer, fall classic kind of shows and that sort of a thing. I'm on the fence on whether I would want to do those shows anymore. I've thought about doing like AQHA ranch riding shows. So I'm a little bit fuzzy on my goals, but I do think I would like to show, period. It's just a matter of what degree. Am I going full-blown like reigning Alberta type of thing, or am I happy staying in Ag Society shows? Either way, Diesel does need to be better trained for me to feel like we would do really well at the shows. We did do really well at the Ag shows last year, but to be honest, it is because the competition, the bar at those competitions is very, very low. It's a lot of people that, it's very, very much recreational people, right? And so, but I would like us to be better if we, even if we are just doing those type of shows. And then the other thing I needed to evaluate is my time commitment. So like specifically this summer, we are moving, which if you watch my YouTube video that I posted yesterday, you would know that whole situation. And I also have some health stuff coming up that will prevent me from riding anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, which is unfortunately a lot of summer. So, but outside of all of that, usually I have the time to ride 6 days a week very consistently outside of tax season. I do have some constraints, not in terms of time, but in terms of circumstance when it comes to riding in the winter, because I do not have a indoor riding arena on this property. I have to haul if I want to ride in dirt during the winter. So there's that. And then within the context of all of that, just recognizing that there's a chance like that amount of time, even though I am really consistent, might not be sufficient to continue to progress Diesel. And just, yeah. So I would really encourage you, if you're kind of in this boat, first sit down and think about, okay, what are your goals? And what is your time commitment that you can allocate to achieving those goals? And if there's a discrepancy where your available time is not sufficient for achieving those goals, then considering taking your horse to a trainer is probably something you should be considering. The next thing you need to assess, of course, is just your horse's foundation and their training level. Just, I would say, look at their foundation. A horse with a good foundation, they've been started right and rode well in the first good chunk of their life. A horse like that, I feel like you can get away without having a trainer more often than not, just because when you have a solid foundation, it can really hold you up regardless of what happens after that. With Diesel, like, I do say he does have a good foundation. I don't know if it's solid. Like, he is good. But I feel like there's just something not quite there. And as a non-pro, I don't know if I can pinpoint it. So I would say, like, maybe foundation does need to be tweaked a little bit yet. And then also just considering any gaps or areas that need improvement in your horse's training. So with Diesel, there's definitely gaps if we're looking at in the context of being a reining horse. So he does not have a flying lead change right now. Lead departures are fine. Sliding stop is coming along good. His spin is coming along good. Slow small circles are his jam. Large fast we can work on, but that's easy enough. Riding one-handed, he needs work on. So like the big thing is the lead change. So that I would say that is a significant gap, because that is one of the maneuvers of a reining pattern that you need to do twice in every reining pattern, right? You need to do one to the left and one to the right. So that is something, and I did try hard to teach it to him last year and just completely fell flat, to be honest with you. At one point last summer, I just kind of gave up and just went back to just working on things that would support a flying lead change. So just working on things like lateral movement and stuff like that. And in the context of that, I would say you need to be honest with yourself. So I will be honest with myself and saying I've never taught a horse how to do a flying lead change. I can sit here and watch YouTube videos all day and listen to podcasts and read books about teaching a horse how to do flying lead changes, but that doesn't change the fact that I've never actually done it in practice. I've rode a flying lead change, but I've never actually taught it. And if I'm brutally honest with myself, I would say I'm probably not an advanced enough rider to properly teach a flying lead change. Like, that hurts my pride. That hurts my pride a little bit to say that, but I think I have to be honest with myself. That is probably accurate. Maybe under the eye of a trainer, like if I was riding with a trainer, I might be able to do it. But at the very least, it would take a lot longer to get it nailed down than someone who is a professional at doing that. So yeah, assessing your horse's foundation, their training level, where there's gaps, all that sort of a thing. And I think once you've done that, on top of assessing your goals and your time commitment, I think once you do a really honest look at those things, I think you're probably going to be in a better position to say, yes, I need a trainer, or no, I don't need a trainer. And if the answer is yes, or even a maybe, I would say start researching and reaching out to trainers. If you're unsure, it doesn't hurt to reach out to a trainer and just get their opinion. You never know what they're going to say, and they might have some valuable information for you that could help you make your decision. So it's really important to do your research on trainers. If you're not familiar with trainers, then talking to people that you know in the horse industry who would know about reputable trainers. There is definitely a lot of trainers out there that are complete garbage, if I'm blunt. Because you have to remember, there's no like professional designation for a trainer the way there is for my profession as an accountant, right? As an accountant, I am, as a CPA specifically, I am held to a very high standard on what is expected of me when I say that I hold this designation. There is no similar standard in the horse training industry. And as a result, there is the risk that you could take your horse to someone who has no idea what they're doing and could potentially mess up your horse. It might not be permanent, but you know, they can do some damage that is going to cost you even more money to fix. So I think it's really important to take your time and find a very, very reputable trainer. Ideally, you want someone with proven experience, someone who has a track record of doing good work, preferably in your industry, but I would say that's, especially if you have competition goals, I think it is probably preferable to have someone, like if you're doing reining, hire a reiner trainer. You're not going to want just some ranch trainer or even like a cow horse guy. Like, you're going to want a reiner trainer. I know there's some girls that are barrel racers who take their horses to rope horse trainers or reiner trainers or cow horse guys. And that can definitely be valuable. I think it's a bit of a different story when you're dealing with barrel horses, just because they're a bit of a wingnut situation. And sometimes it is good to just get them doing something completely different. But if you do have competition aspirations, I would say probably try to find someone within your industry. As far as diesel goes, so there's a couple people that I'm toying with contacting. The one is the trainer that he was with at the time that I purchased him. As far as I know, he wasn't in full-time training with her, but she is familiar with him and all that sort of thing. The only thing that I'm hesitant about with contacting her is the fact that she's a her. And as sexist as it might sound, there is something about men that horses respect. Diesel has a bit of an attitude, and when you ask him to do things, he will give you attitude. He will swish his tail, pin his ears. He might kick up a back foot. He has an attitude, and part of me really thinks that he would benefit from being intimidated a bit by a firm male on his back as opposed to you know, a gentler female. Like, obviously those are stereotypes and generalizations, but there's definitely something to it. So that is why I'm also considering calling the trainer that we bought Junior off of. So I've had Junior since 2006, and he was trained by, I don't even know what you want to call him. He does cutting. He does cow horse. He's just, I think you could call him an all-around cowboy. But I absolutely love the feel that I have on Junior. And when I bought Junior, he had all the bells and whistles. He could do lead changes. He could do spins. I don't think he had a sliding stop because he was a cutting horse. But, like, he had all the fancy stuff. And so I'm considering contacting that trainer to discuss my options with him. Once you, you know, find out some potential trainers, I would really encourage you to have several chats with them as possible. If you can kind of watch their training methods, watch them work, that would be awesome. Visit their barn and just kind of get a feel. Ask people that are around who know them what the scoop is, if they're worth working with, that sort of a thing. Like, really do your research, you guys. These two trainers that I have in mind, I know they do good work, that sort of a thing. So I am kind of ahead of the gun on this part because I do have two trainers that immediately came to mind. If you're not as established in the horse industry, you might have a bit more of a job on your hands in terms of finding a trainer. But again, it is definitely worth putting in the work to find the right fit for you and your horse. Another thing, obviously, that you need to consider is money. So there's going to be the trainers, probably, like, it's going to be probably billed monthly, a monthly fee for their training. If they're staying at a barn, you might have boarding fees and, like, any other sort of fees like that. I'm not even going to give you an estimate of what trainers charge. I feel like it varies a lot. And I think for the longest time, trainers were charging like $1,200 a month. And I feel like it's been like that for years. But I think trainers are finally starting to realize that their services are potentially worth more than that. And they should at least be keeping up with inflation, which they haven't. So yeah, I would say $1,200 is probably your bottom cost, and it's going to go up from there. The more well-known your trainer is, obviously, the more they're going to charge for just being a reputable trainer, which I think, in my opinion, is totally fair. I'm more than happy to pay them for something that I'm not able to do myself, if it means I'm going to have a really awesome horse on the other end that I can enjoy for the next 20 years, right? Diesel's only 4. He's got a lot of years ahead of him. If I invest in him now, that's going to pay off for years and years to come. So, but just, you have to be aware that there are financial considerations, and this likely isn't going to be just like a 1 month thing. As far as I know, a lot of trainers refuse to take a horse for just 30 or even 60 days. Usually they want them longer so that they can actually make some progress, because this takes time. As I've very much learned for the past year since getting Diesel, like, it takes a lot of time, and you're going to need to be prepared to pay for multiple months to see the fruit of this investment, I would say. So just be aware of that, because it is an upcoming cost, and I would say, like, it's worth the investment. You should be happy to pay a trainer if you know that they're going to do something for you. That means, like, you're going to have a cool horse on the other end of it. Like, I would definitely pay money for that, right? I would forego other things. I would stop spending money on other things to know that I could have a really cool horse. And, like, maybe that's just me, but I don't know. That's how I see it. So, and then just making sure at the outset you're being very, very clear, you're communicating with whichever trainer you select about your expectations, being very clear on how much it's going to cost, asking like how you're going to be getting updates, kind of what their training plan would be, and just being very, very having open communication with your trainer and communicating to them the importance of communication for you and the importance of updates. I think it's really, really important. Again, you're paying them money, so you're gonna want to see progress, right? Like, it might not be every week, because let's be honest, they might not make progress in a week, but like every couple of weeks, I would definitely be expecting some sort of an update from my trainer, and just being very blunt at the outset that like, hey, this is an expectation. I hope you're okay with it. Can we, you know, agree on XYZ? Just being very, very clear from the outset, all that sort of a thing. And yeah, as I said in my YouTube video, and as I'll say here, deciding to send Diesel to a trainer is a very hard decision for me. I have not 100% made the decision yet. I did type out a message to send to one of those trainers the other day, and then I deleted it because I just don't know. And to be honest, I probably should just stop that and just reach out just to inquire. Like, just because I send a message doesn't mean I have to send my horse to them tomorrow. And to be honest, it might not be that they have any availabilities until later in the year, which is fine, right? Because I do plan on riding Diesel for the rest of the summer and then sending him somewhere come fall once the ground freezes and I'm not able to ride like I normally would here in my outdoor arena. That's kind of the tentative plan. So that does give me a little bit of time, but in the meantime, I do at some point soon need to be contacting these trainers just to see what their availability is, what their timelines look like for when I could get him in. Because like, I can't go on the assumption that, yeah, both of these trainers would be willing to take my horse, right? There's that too. Like, trainers are able to say, no, I'm not going to take your horse for whatever reason, right? Or they might not even give a reason, but so, you know, there is the chance that both of them would say no for whatever reason, or they don't have a time, availability, whatever. Then I'm going to have to start researching trainers, right? I'm kind of going to be at square one. So I need to be prepared for that. Need to plan early, get on it. And as hard as it is for me to do, I need to make a decision. And if you talk to my husband, he will say that I'm not great at making decisions. I'm a little indecisive, and that doesn't help this situation. But like I said, I think it would be worth investing in Diesel now. He's young, super quick to learn. Now is the perfect time to be sending him somewhere to like really finish him off, put some fancy buttons in him, and then we can go to town, who knows, next year, I guess, at the horse shows or whatever it happens that I wanted to be. You know, at the end of the day, it could end up being that I end up having kids who take him in 4-H and they have a good time on him because he's well broke, which that would be awesome too. But it all comes down to making a decision on whether or not I think I can get through the plateau and train him myself, if I'm okay with slower progress, or if I want to like take that stress off of myself, pay someone else to do it, and get it done quicker and all that sort of a thing. So big decisions for me. If you're in the same boat, I feel you. It's not easy. I also just, you know, like having him around and being able to plug away with him every day. But I do have Junior here too, so it's not like I would be without a horse completely if I sent him away. So there is that. But if you guys have any thoughts on this, I would love some advice. Feel free to DM me on Instagram. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are, what I should do. I'll throw it into the mix of my decision-making matrix here and hopefully come up with a decision sooner than later. But I think I will end the episode there. Hope you guys enjoyed it. As I said, I have YouTube. I'm doing vlogs on YouTube now. I'm trying to post one twice a week. So I'm trying to do like a, what do we got here? A Tuesday and a Friday vlog every week. So far it's okay. Even in the chaos of moving, I've been able to manage this somehow. I really enjoy vlog style YouTube videos, so I figured that's, I enjoy watching it, so I'm assuming other people enjoy it as well. So be sure to check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@strongin the saddle. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Strong in the Saddle. And yeah, as always, until next time, remember, it's always a good day to ride.